Blessings are available to all those who believe, to those who believe in Jesus. There is a lot of talk in our world today about having faith in yourself. But of course, we are not talking about that. We are talking specifically about faith in Jesus. 2 weeks ago, we looked in John chapter 20 at the account of Thomas, who believed that Jesus was alive because he met Jesus face to face. And Jesus said to Thomas, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." And then last week, we looked at the last few verses of that chapter, in which John, the author, took a pause from the narrative and explained why he had written the book. And this is the explanation that he gives. Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. The purpose of the book, the reason why Jesus came to earth, the purpose of God the Father sending his Son Jesus to earth, it's all about life. The Gospel of John was written so that we may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing we may have life in his name. And now, today, we are going to start looking at the very last chapter of the book, chapter 21, in which John, the writer, goes back to the narrative and gives us an example of faith in action. So if you want to find the place, this is John chapter 21, verses 1 to 14. John 21, 1 to 14. Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Galilee. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, also known as Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. "I'm going out to fish," Simon Peter told them, and they said, "We'll go with you." So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" "No," they answered. He said, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some." When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, "It is the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment round him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from the shore, about 100 meters. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals with fish on it, and some bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you have just caught." So Simon Peter climbed back into the boat and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153, but even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread, and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. Do you get it? Some of the disciples had been fishing all night long, but they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus called to them from the shore and told them to throw the net on the right side of the boat. And it's interesting because at that point, they did not even recognize Jesus. But when they did what he told them to do, they caught loads of fish. But you see, things could have turned out very differently. They could easily have said, "What's the point? And what difference will it make?" They could easily have ignored what Jesus was telling them to do. Supposing they had followed the science rather than obeying the voice of Jesus. I wonder, does that phrase ring a bell? Have you heard the phrase recently, following the science? The government keeps using the phrase, and if you do a simple search on the internet, you will see that it is causing some confusion and not everyone is happy. Here is a small selection of some of the headlines I found. Britain's government says it is following the science. Which science? UK's confused claim to follow the science eroded public trust. The government says they're following the science, but I sometimes find that hard to believe. Trust in science could be eroded if misused by politicians. Government not following the science on coronavirus response warns health experts. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" "No," they answered. And he said, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some." Just imagine what would have happened if the disciples had decided to follow the science. Let's explore the science of fishing 2,000 years ago on Lake Galilee. The disciples were in a fishing boat, not a ship. The boats were small enough to be able to be dragged onto the shore, so they were not huge. A group of fish is called a school, and a school of fish are moving constantly. In addition, even if the fishermen had dropped an anchor to keep the boat from drifting any distance, the boat would still be moving about on the water. So fish that had been on the left of the boat could moments later be on the right of the boat and then back on the left again. The boat is constantly moving. The water is constantly moving. and the fish are constantly moving. So there is no scientific evidence to suggest that throwing the net on the right side of the boat would be any better than throwing the net on the left side of the boat. If you were sitting on a harbour wall fishing, then it may make a huge difference which side of the wall you fish on. And if you are a gardener planting roses along a fence, the roses may grow much better on one side rather than the other. But when a boat is in the middle of a lake fishing, it's not going to make any difference which side of the boat you throw your net. Jesus called out to the disciples, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" "No," they answered. He said, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some." What will the disciples do? Following the science would mean saying, "What's the point and what difference will it make?" And if they wanted to follow the science of fishing, surely they, the fishermen, whose families had been fishing these waters for generations, surely they understood the science better than some stranger calling to them from the shore. And remember, at that point, the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. And even if they had realized that it was Jesus, what does the carpenter's son know about fishing? What does the rabbi know about fishing? What does the walking, talking preacher man know about the science of fishing? Surely these fishermen, whose families had been fishing these waters for generations, surely they could have written and edited the Fisherman's Monthly magazine. They were the experts. Jesus called out to the disciples, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" "No," they answered. Jesus said, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some." When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish, because they obeyed the voice of Jesus and rejected the science. Now, I am not knocking scientists, and we have a number of scientists in our church, and they are lovely people. But sometimes the people of God are called to obey the voice of Jesus and reject the science. Casting the net on the right side of the boat rather than the left would not have made any difference on any other day. But this day was a day of God's intervention, the day when Jesus spoke, and obeying the voice of Jesus meant that they experienced a miracle. And the huge catch of fish was not the only miracle. What about those primitive fishing nets? They were much better than the modern ones from an environmental point of view. They were made of natural materials. They did not pollute the water or harm marine life. They were brilliant and they were sustainable. But there was just one problem with them. Those primitive fishing nets were prone to breaking, so much so that in the Gospels we meet fishermen on the shore mending their nets. And so it was another miracle, the fact that the net was full of large fish, 153, but even with so many, the net was not torn. Now, we have seen two miracles so far. Number one, the miracle of the enormous catch of fish. Number two, the miracle of the net not breaking. And there was a third miracle too. The miracle of the living God having breakfast on a beach with his disciples. Think about it, my friends. This is Jesus, living God. He has just risen from the dead. This is Jesus, Creator God. He was with the Father when the world was created. This is Jesus, Saviour God. He has just died in your place and mine. And this is Jesus, Holy God. And remember that holy means set apart. So this is the miracle. Here we see Holy God, God who is set apart, coming close, not worried about social distancing, cooking breakfast on a barbecue, inviting the disciples into friendship with him, inviting the disciples to eat with him. And that third miracle is valid even today. Jesus is still inviting us into friendship with him. Jesus is still inviting us to eat with him. In the very last book of the Bible, in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20, Jesus says, "Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person, and they with me." When it comes to relationship with Jesus, we are not being called to follow the science. We are being invited to receive the living God right into the core of our being. Jesus wants to live within us, in the real me, in the inner me, deep inside the visible me. We invite you to receive Jesus. And if you do, a miracle will take place within you. Amen.